Blog Talk Radio.
A modern day warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever, and oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of EloquentOnline.net in beautiful, sunny New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long, long walk, but a really short flight in the Millennium Falcon up to Charleston, South Carolina, where he is the toughest talkingest chief operating officer in the history of the credit union marketplace, Tough Talking Troy Hall. Hey, Troy, how are you?
Oh, Jason, I'm just so broken up today.
And why is that?
Oh, because I'm just so happy that the prince and the princess had their baby boy.
Oh, me too. I'm thinking if they want to name that kid something that's really going to denote royalty, what do you think, Jason?
Well, yeah, that would be very self-serving. Well, wait, that would probably be close to the way that would work anyway, so, yeah, let's do that.
What if, well, maybe Troy. I could see Prince Troy working. I don't know.
I actually, earlier in this thought process, I really had considered it, but I think Troy is too on the Greek side. It's probably
maybe
not
so.
Going to work
maybe so.
on that side, so... But of course, you must say it like this. If we name that child,
true.
It would be named Jason. So
Jason.
This is the emphasis
mm-hmm.
would be on the son. It would be the yeah. Jason. It would not be Jason, like we say it in America.
That's very true.
It would be Jason.
And actually, if you're like me, I was sick of this story about 24 hours ago when I first heard about it. So... what's his
well,
name?
Well, you know that in our household, we were waiting for the blue smoke. We saw
yes.
the blue smoke. We knew for sure it was going to be the boy.
All right. Well, I'm glad. I hope the baby is happy and healthy. I don't get the whole royal lineage thing. I could have sworn we won a war back at they surrendered at Yorktown, so we wouldn't have to pay attention to this kind of stuff. But, hey, I guess it's fun for people. It's summertime. It's getting late.
Oh, no, but you know what it is? But Jason, here's the deal. Even though I'm making a little bit of fun of this just as the beginning, you know, it's always good for ratings. But the reality is – no, seriously. But the reality is it's all a generational aspect, and it fits so perfectly in with the show because we do talk about the generational aspect, the imprint that you have, the traditions, the culture, you know, all those things that build up your culture. This is all just a cultural thing that happens in England, and sometimes it appears for us as though we may not quite understand it. But what it also goes to show, and this is part of the Global Leadership and Entrepreneurship Program, is our tolerance of cultures that are different. Like, you know, we really don't see what's the big deal. You know, like, you think I'm going to wait outside of a, you know, if we had a, if our lineage of our presidents would have children in the same context that they do in England, do you think I would be waiting with my beer or my wine or something outside the hospital, waiting for them to put the plaque up on the wall to tell me what the baby was? Are you kidding me? Heck no. But
no.
That's not our tradition. So therefore, it sometimes makes us often just a little less tolerant in somebody else's opinion with that. So I know that we were just having good fun with it, but we are very tolerant of that because we appreciate this generational aspect and we appreciate, you know, what happens with that.
Well, and it's absolutely true. And when all of you banking professionals are finished looking at all the information about the new royal baby, don't forget to go visit our sponsor at GoMarquee.com. CRM MCIF has never been so easy, and they do so much more than that. You may know them for their CRM and MCIF solutions, but they are also one of the fastest-growing creative agencies in the financial marketplace. GoMarquee.com, GoMarquis. .com. Go visit our buddies today. Hey, Troy, listen, you're absolutely right. I mean, we talk about it all the time on this show. The key signature on the Power Performance, the show that asked the question, if your brand were a band, would leave the audience wanting more. The key signature on this show is always generational things. And, of course, right now, speaking of young generations, Q's is holding its next top credit union executive search. And we're going to have a guest on the show today. Bryce Roth with Chatteryak is vying for that spot, so I'm looking forward to talking to him. I think we've had a couple of the winners from that competition on the show, have we not?
We certainly have, and we've also had people vying for the position.
That's right. I tried to go back and find our first show together, and I've got to tell you, it is not an easy thing to do. I could not find the first time that we did a show together, but I got to tell you, you're my friend. You've been my partner on this show for so long, and last week, with a little help from Elvis, we went over 70,000 archive listens for this show.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that the studio audience forgot their cue earlier, we'll forgive them since they're now paying attention. I think I see some of them looking up the royal baby stuff on their Blackberries and cell phones. They're going to put those away. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll have Bryce Roth from Chatteryak, and we'll do it all right after this. I never had no problems. Hey, Bryce, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks, Jason.
Hey, Bryce.
Hey, Bryce, we're really happy that you could join us on the show today.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm just as happy I can accomplish that.
And you have something in common with us anyway. So our good buddy Deb, you know, so, hey, this makes good sense.
Yeah, Deb's great. So it's been a pleasure working with her now for 7 months. So.
Yeah. So, Bryce, let's just start out a little bit. You know, we know that you're vying for this Q's next top executive position. So tell us a little bit about what's been happening to you, you know, up until this particular point in time.
Well, it's been it's a cliche warning, but it's been a unique ride. I mean, up until a little over 2 years ago, I didn't know what a credit union was. Got my first position as a marketing director in Sandusky, Ohio, home of Cedar Point, at Vacation Land Federal Credit Union, and met my CEO there. He's been my mentor, Kevin Orlovsky. He's the co-founder of Chatteryak. And we just, you know, went from there, and I fell in love with credit unions. I can't believe it. I didn't know about them prior to that time, and it's something that I just love doing, talking about them. This is, you know, I'm in my element right now talking about credit unions. So, but now I'm in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, director of marketing and social strategy at Citizens First Credit Union. So, but I've worked with plenty of other credit unions in between. So,
yeah,
well,
Well, tell us, what are some of the exciting things happening right now at Chatteryak? What are some of the nice, hot, happening things that are going on over at Chatteryak?
Well, you know, there's so much actually going on. We're really getting into tech-based solutions to help with cross-sells and lead generation through some of these new channels, you know, that everyone's talking about. I know Jason and I have had some dialogue about the use of Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that. And, you know, there's some validity to the fact that, you know, if it's just chatter, if it's just talking back and forth, that it might not be the best way to spend your time. So we're coming up with solutions to how to learn more about our members that are interacting with us, how to identify possible needs that they might need, that we can create banking solutions for them that are tailored custom to, you know, their life stage or their lifestyle. So right now we're really heavy into just developing software and applications to help credit unions get that ROI that you know, we hear that isn't there so often.
Yeah, you know, I think the important thing about the ability to make choices and make decisions is to really kind of have information. Information is valuable. And so what you're saying is, you know, you want to put your ear to the ground, basically, and find out what is the pulse of the conversation. So, And I won't hold it against you that only 2 years ago that you didn't know about credit unions. as a matter of fact, the mother of Bank Transfer Day didn't know about credit unions 2 years ago either. So,
yeah, Chris, well, Chrissy's awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. So it actually, so you see, we bring new people on all the time. So it just, it's really great when you got folks who are, you know, fresh voices and fresh faces, because we get a fresh perspective that we didn't have before. So, so one of the things I want to ask you, though, with your fresh face, fresh perspective, you got your ear to the ground, one of the questions that we typically ask all of the folks who are vying for this position is, we want to know what, if you were made CEO of a credit union today, what would be your first order of business, but not necessarily limiting to just tomorrow, because that could be too short-minded. Think about within the first, you know, few months of your activities. What are some of the first things that you think you want to be able to put into business and kind of try to prioritize it a little bit as, I think I might do this and then that?
Well, first and foremost, I would find, I would talk to my board who would have made me CEO, and I would have asked them what the heck they're thinking.
Okay, that's great. I like that.
That's good.
I got to be completely honest. You know, I'm far from ready to be a CEO of a credit union. I know my strengths and I know my weaknesses. But I'll humor you. I think, you know, one of the main problems that we have right now is, you know, we only have 6% of the market share. It's been that way for forever. You know, we're trying all these new things. They don't seem to be creating too much change. Bank Transfer Day was fantastic, but you know, we're seeing, you know, in Wisconsin alone last year we lost 17 credit unions due to mergers, and that's not, you know, that's not inherently a bad thing, but what I think as we, you know, continue to go into this digital age, and you know, I'm sure Bank of America is going to launch teleport your check to your favorite banker here in the next 6 months or something like that. That'll be the next remote capture. But I think we really need to work on our onboarding strategies. I know a lot of credit unions do it really well, but we really need to demonstrate the value of what membership means, make that more real to get people, this younger generation especially, because, you know, I'm distracted right now by all the tweets that are going on my, you know, computer right now, and I think a squirrel just ran by on the window, outside the window too, but, you know, little things distract us, so we really need to get this new generation to be as loyal as the traditionalists, who are our most loyal members, but they seem to be the people that we're kind of maybe neglecting, you know, as they get older, because we're so focused on Gen Y, which isn't a bad thing. We need to focus on Gen Y. If we can't retain them, you know, if they turn 18 and they move off to college or enter the workforce and they see no value in staying with a credit union, then as an industry, we have a real, real serious problem. So I think that's what I would do is, you know, educate our employees from the front line to the back office on really what we are, why we do what we do, and why it matters. Because if we can't understand that and we can't, you know, have our what I call love story just ready to spit out, how can we expect our members to really care about us as much as we do? So, you know, that's not, I don't know if that's exactly what you're looking for, but I think that that's really one of the most important things that credit unions can do right now is tell their story succinctly, unlike I just did, but, you know, and just get people to understand that there is a difference and it's value-based. So.
Interesting. Well, I think it's great that you're obviously agreeing with something that Troy and I talk about all the time. I've got nothing against focusing on Gen Y, don't get me wrong, but I absolutely agree with you that baby boomer generation is still the consumer majority in so much of what any banking brand does. You were kind. You said we've dialogued about social media. I think other people might say we've argued about it. That's just my typical Latin hot-headed nature to be like that, but I've always respected your take on it. I struggle with the validity of Twitter and some of these other social media things, and it's probably my age. I mean, I spent a lot of my professional life without a Twitter account and without a LinkedIn account and without a Facebook account and stuff like that. What I wanted to ask you, with your perspective as a young guy vying for the Q's next top credit union executive, every day immersed in a discussion about social media and social media strategies, where do you see all of this going in the next few years, and why is it such a vital part of any banking brand strategy?
Well, I think it's important because when you look at the trends and the statistics, so much of banking transactions, so much of that is just going on the internet. Right? People aren't going into the branch as much. There's a lot of talk about the branch dying. I don't believe that. Ron Chevlin, a really well-respected, professional on marketing in the banking sector, once told me, and I don't think this is his quote, but I think someone else told him that, and I don't know who I'm giving credit to, but I got to say Ron's name. He said, the bank branch or the credit union branch is like the dentist. You might not go every week, but you got to go twice a year, and when you go, it's pretty important.
Right.
So to get to the online part, so if we know people aren't coming into our branches as much as they used to be, we need to be able to extend our culture and our brand digitally so those people that aren't coming into our branch know exactly what Citizens First Credit Union is about or ABC Credit Union is about. So, you see a lot of people on social media, and I can see this is probably where, you draw some of your conclusions when they're just maybe posting silly pictures or some quotes and things like that. And that's great for engaging every once in a while, but if you're not really telling your brand story and everything that you do doesn't really tie back to what you do and why you do the things that you do in your branch, then you're not using the medium as well. So that's one regard. But again, the information that is there and big data is a big buzz term. If we can harness that, and that's something that we're working at Acuso Chadriac on, to create efficiency on the teller line for cross-sale opportunities and things like that. I mean, the possibilities are endless. I mean, with that much data, it's just kind of figuring out what data points mean what or may mean what, and starting that experience banking, if you will, and taking that a little bit further. So that's where I see, digital media, new media, social media, call it what you want. That's where I see it playing that role there for the non-traditional member or bank customer that isn't going into the branch all the time. So when they do interact with you, maybe it's just on the internet, you can get the most out of that interaction. You can have a better picture of that member and what their needs may or may not be.
Yeah, and I think that what you speak to is basically, you speak to a lot of shifting and changing in the demographics. And I will tell you that it's sometimes hard to see the forest for the trees. And I believe that because I know that what we're seeing here as the trend for our branch network, and I can speak to that a little bit. I'm just you and I just talking about this. We can talk more later. But the bottom line is that the branch itself may be important. It's what the function of the branch is. And I'm not sure that enough folks in our industry are gearing up for the changes in what will be happening inside the facility versus what has happened in the facility in the past. Because we use the same term and we say the branch office. And so the branch office has modified itself over the years, but pretty much that modification has only been in the way of the way we've done transactions. What you spoke to and what we see is that those transactions are changing. They're not going to be the same transactions done inside the branch. So we're going to have to really think that through a little bit more. And some of the other things that you talked about, which really make a big difference to the upcoming, the Gen Y. I get the baby boomers. I'm a baby boomer. I get that I'm still valuable and important. I make decisions. I still have money to contribute into the process. But I always speak to the future because I know people can figure out the present. There isn't a person walking around who can't figure out the present. Do you think they can't figure out they can sell to the baby boomer? They already got that figured out. What they're not doing is making plans for when the baby boomer is no longer the decision maker and they have to move to someone else. And they're just going to assume that they're going to have that same sense of loyalty that we may have had to the organization. It doesn't work that way. And you spoke about that. You talked about why it matters. The Gen Y has to be connected to the organization based on what matters. I love the fact that you said love story. So I love that.
I love that too. Yep, I love that. Yep.
Yeah, it's it's like telling the story. It's like, why are you connecting the dots? Because that's what happens. And what we know from our data is that this generation will connect more for social purpose than any other generation. What we also know is that other generations are not turned off by the organization espousing a social purpose. So the reality is that credit unions in general were built on a social purpose of people helping people so that they could help themselves, they could break that cycle of helplessness and do something for them. We were not founded so that we could create a new product that wasn't available in the marketplace before. We weren't invented so we could bring new technology or a slicker way of doing it. We were built on a social purpose. When credit unions remember that their love story is the social purpose, and they build that into the framework of their messaging and branding and build it into the conversation, then we've got strength, because now the fibers are intertwined, much like the way when you braid your hair. And so I think that what I am hearing you say, and what our professionals in the industry who are moving us forward in some direction are taking the conversations, the chatter, and they're actually braiding it. Because when those conversations are braided together, it's just like three pieces of hair are much stronger than any one by itself. So thank you for your observations today. I really appreciate you being on the show. We thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me, and I couldn't put it better myself. You know, it's really about, you know, content marketing is just become a thing in the last, let's call it, 3 years, and it's really just telling a story, not necessarily talking about yourself, not putting yourself at the forefront, but just telling stories, and people will figure it out. You know, we've got to give people the benefit of the doubt, kind of like you said. People will figure out things in the present. If you can add value to people's life and they see that you're adding that value, they're eventually going to want to come and do business with you or work with you because you're making their life a little bit easier. I think I don't want to misquote you, but a couple of shows ago, you guys spoke about like Pampers, I think, wasn't it?
Troy brought up Pampers a lot of shows ago.
Yeah, and it's not about the wet bum, I think Troy said. You know, they're telling the story of, look, you're a mother. We're going to provide solutions so you can spend more time with your children. And we're not going to talk about our diapers. We're going to talk about how we can make your life better. And not put ourselves at the forefront. And that's really what it's all about. And that's what my. We didn't get to talk about it, and I've already spoke so much, but that's what my project for Next Top Credit Union Exec is all about, is getting to Gen Y, getting them to understand the credit union difference, but not just talking about it the same way. We'll talk about it once, but then we're just going to live it. We're going to demonstrate it. We're going to do things and show them why we're different and why we believe we're better. So,
we wish you nothing but success in everything that you're doing, especially the Q's Next Top Credit Union Executive. I voted for you, so I like what I've heard. And until next week speak, I want to wish you a great week, continued success, and all the peace and prosperity that might accrue to you now and always. On behalf of Troy and myself, thank you so very, very much for joining us.
Hey, thank you guys. Thanks for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
All right, brother. You take care. Thanks again.
Take care.
Really great stuff. Hey, listen, folks, if you take time after you've listened to this amazing show and you're thinking about your love story and you want to tell your love story to your audience of customers and members and you want to do it even better, call the professional consultants at Marquee. GoMarquee.com. They can bring your MCIF and CRM solution to life so you can tell your love story. You know, Troy, our love story began back in 2006. And I think back in those days, I'm sure we had bill pay. I know we had – do you think we had e-statements?
So
I know we had e-statements. But what we're going to talk after the break is what happens with your brand when you're not using any words. And so we'll do all of that right after this. You're listening to The Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more? That is right, where the talk is hot, but the hosts are...
Hotter than a baby's bum.
Hotter than a baby's bottom, center of the sun kind of heat.
Yes.
that heat when you lift up the hood on your car in the summer to check your radiator to make sure it's not leaking, that kind
of
heat.
Sizzling, kind of like you put bacon on a hot skillet and it just, like, sparkles.
Sparkles and crackles. That's what we do. We sparkle and we crackle. Hey, listen, that song.
Oh, my gosh, we started to sound like a cereal. All we need is a little pop there and we'd be a cereal.
We, again, we want to thank Bryce Roth with Chatter Yak, a smart young guy. I like talking to the people in the next top credit union executive. And, you know, Troy, you said something that I often forget. I sometimes get on people's case and, hey, what are you doing that's new and innovative? And you're right. Credit unions are a little different. They were founded on an ideal to provide a benefit that was social and communicative and communal in nature. I think that's just a very interesting point that you brought up that I don't hear a lot, by the way, when I'm watching and reading things out there. But since we're talking about the break that we just had, that song that you hear when you hear the break is actually an instrumental by my favorite band, Rush. And I love instrumentals. My favorite song in the world is another Rush song, YYZ. I've always enjoyed instrumentals. Troy, you probably remember Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass. Da, 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 da. Remember that song?
It was sure just do.
Yep. I've always enjoyed instrumentals. And yesterday, and with 3 minutes left on the show now, I was interacting with my bank to pay bills, checking my balance, and some other things. And I really enjoyed everything they did yesterday. They Frost Bank here in Texas puts up photos that customers send in from nice spots all around Texas. And it occurred to me that without Frost Bank saying anything to me, I really enjoyed their Texas First vibe that I got from interacting with them online yesterday. And since so much of our banking is going to be online, where we're not going to have tellers cross-selling us, or we're not going to have people talking to us with features and benefits, Troy, how do we get that love from our brand when we're not saying any words?
Well, we do it through the interaction, because although you may not speak words, there are other languages of communication. And that, of course, will be through text, through the written word, through the observed word, or even through the observed thousand words that come through a picture, and gaining the response and dialogue. Part of what we are working on here is interacting with our consumers based on their choice. How do they prefer? We also are becoming a little more sophisticated in the fact that if we've asked you once in one delivery channel medium, we don't ask you again. Because we already know that you've answered that question, and then we'll ask it, you know, maybe several months later, but we don't just keep hounding you with it. So in those connections, you also have to be observant as to where people are. Another opportunity is on your website. When folks hover on your website for a particular period of time, you can then reach out to say, do you want to talk? And so what that says is that you are paying attention. Even though there was nothing, there was no real overt way of suggesting something that everyone always maybe think of in the way of sales, it's just the fact that you were being available. And I think that that'll happen in those mediums where there'll be those interactions that'll go through. The problem is that we're just going to be, it's not really a problem. The issue is we're going to be selling differently than the way we were selling before. If we relied right completely on the individual coming inside the branch and having a physical conversation, the rules have changed, and the rules have changed because of the engagement. So we just have to be a little smarter about how we interact with the consumer. And I do believe that the institution that's smarter about how they interact with the consumer is going to make a difference, because consumers are less tolerant today because of technology on you not figuring this stuff out. They don't Absolutely. Want you to pretend you're technology-driven, but everything you do is still manual on a piece of paper, and they have to keep telling you the same information over and over again.
Well, absolutely. Well, listen, folks, with a minute left to go on the show, Troy, you will be speaking of the next generation. You'll be going out there to inform and inspire the young people out at the NYIB conference. I believe it's in San Diego next week. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. I will be out there on Tuesday, and I will be not only doing one of their general sessions, but I will be doing one of their breakout sessions. And part of what we're going to be doing in the breakout session is we are going to say goodbye to PowerPoint.
Oh, thank God.
I know, because the, if you really stop for a second and you look at how we're trying to educate the youth today, you look at credit unions. How are you educating youth today? Everyone sends you a PowerPoint. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Exactly.
So traditional, it's not that traditional is wrong. I'm not a basher of tradition. But what I'm saying is you must know what the data tells you about the way people learn. They learn by interactive engagement. They learn by visualization. They are not going to learn by, oh, let me follow your PowerPoint on a, you know, and just because you update it to new colors and new graphics doesn't mean anything. So I'm actually kicking this off because I'm really thinking about the way I need to consider presentations that I do that are not for the traditional audience. I mean, I understand when I go to speak to credit union board of directors, like I did last week when I went to the Southeast Regional Directors Conference, they would expect a PowerPoint. So I'm not going to, you know, do something really wild and wacky just so I can be the wild, wacky presenter. But I'm going to really seriously challenge us to look at our audience and determine if I'm going to the National Youth Involvement Board, which are individuals reaching young people, I'm going to encourage them to say, you're talking to young people. Don't take a PowerPoint. They're going to, you lose them because then they think of you as grandma and grandpa.
Absolutely. Well, listen, safe travels to you.
Thank you.
Looking forward to we'll have Jay Kassing sitting in, co-hosting in your absence, although I think you might try to call in with some people live from the show, which will be a lot of fun. And I want to thank, again, Bryce Roth for joining us today. We covered a lot of ground today. The Royal Baby, the Q's Next Top Credit Union Executive, the NYIB Conference next week. We do it all every week right here. If it's Wednesday, it's the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Don't forget to go visit our sponsors at GoMarquee.com, a great family-owned business. Go check them out online. Give them a call. A lot of great things for any bank or credit union. Troy, until next we speak, again, safe travels, Godspeed, and I can't wait to get back on
the interview. Don't forget, I'll be remote next week, and so we'll be trying to line up a little bit of a conversation while I'm actually live, because on Wednesday I am responsible for introductions and helping them move the session along on Wednesday. I present on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday I actually do that. So we're going to try to speak. We're going to try to pick up some live people to actually talk to while I'm out there.
Man, only on radio can you do that. Hey, listen, folks, that's why I love this show, but I'm always a little sad when we reach this point into bonus time, and it's time to say goodbye from the beautiful city of Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains,
goodbye.
The sun still shines. Hey, guys, have a great, great week. Until next week, we'll talk to you soon.